Coming up, an interview with Trent Seven recorded at the Folk Music Ontario Conference this past October. But before we get there, this is Trent Seven with Blue Nose on a Dime from their self-titled debut album. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
We found the winter in Montreal, and I went on the road like a rag doll. You spit a bottle of wine with Keith the Great. Rufus came around and he still didn't know our names. A grand piano on every floor, I was numb from the thin white wall. You had a studio somewhere up the road. The music that we heard was like living with buried gold. The day we ditched our southern life, put on a parka in the northern lights. Everything just got better, living in an NHS sweater all the time. Blue nose on a dime and you were mine. Chicken Hollywood with nothing to see, but darling, lose a little bit of weight. Well, no one ever said that when I headed north. There's a breed of folk you see past the Dakota. I like sitting at the Chateau Marmont bar. I'm taking Bob's taxi to my favorite star. And the Arctic air's got me frozen in their smile. I can tell my money apart in the whiskey.
We're in our mobile studio that a lot of other people say is just a hotel room, but I've been here for 2 days now, so I'm calling it a studio. It feels like a studio, and I've been wanting an interview with Trent Seven forever, so it's great to have them in the studio today. They are M. Griner, Laura C. Bates, and Dana Manning. It's great to have you guys join us.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Now, and they're all dressed in plaid, which if you've been to a Trent Seven show, you'll realize it's an important part of the show. They actually have their own little tickle trunk. They pull out with all sorts of plaid vestments to people to wear. And if you're the unlucky one in the audience, you evidently get the boxer shorts. I didn't notice that. So I'm going to start with you, Em. You tell us a little bit about why you got together and created Trent Seven, because you all have other careers. And we'll talk a little bit about those careers as we go through this interview today. But what made you want to form a band where the three of you would go on the road together?
Well, I think, you know, being a solo artist, it takes you in so many places. And, you know, I toured in Ireland for a little while and soaked up some of the music there. And then, as I say during our show, Kate McGarrigle was my landlord for a little while. And then I moved back to Ontario and I saw what kind of music, you know, really the kind of music that people loved and the kind of music that I started to want to go see myself, you know, was more entertaining than kind of what I was doing as a solo act. And it was, you know, roots, country, folk, that sort of genre where, you know, someone would bring a banjo up or a fiddle or something. And it just made everyone kind of come alive. So I wanted to start a trio. And originally, I wasn't even going to be in it. But then I was doing some shows with Dana. And I was reminded how, you know, she's this amazing guitar player and songwriter and singer. And just kind of rolled the dice without knowing her very well, you know, to see if she'd want to be in a band together. I think maybe my advice to other people would be that you maybe research a little more first. But I lucked out because Dana's so, I can't imagine this band without her and now without Laura. So we just kind of started trading songs, and then we needed to find our third person. So,
and that was Laura.
So
you're the third person in this combo, Laura. And I was reading the bio in preparation for this interview. And yeah. If you go to trent7band.ca, it actually says, and I can't believe this, but apparently Dana Manning used to babysit for you. Is that right?
This is a true story. Yes.
This is a true story.
Yeah. And we don't know exactly how my dad got her as a babysitter. This is in Stratford, Ontario, but Dana's dad works, and he's the music teacher at the local high school. So possibly somewhere affiliated, like, oh, well, it's music related. And my dad is a folk music enthusiast and had a couple of guitars in his basement. And Dana put me to bed early, which upset me deeply. So that she could actually play guitar, and she wrote her first hit in my dad's basement, so she owes me one.
So that is that that's the reason you get to play fiddle in this band?
Well, actually, while I was babysitting her, I was putting her to bed to these wild tapes of violin music, and in preparation for this band, years, you know, 15 years in advance.
Not true.
did you realize? Sorry, did you realize at all that you would eventually be in a band together? I mean, Laura, are you from a musical family as well? Or?
My dad will tell you he's not a musician and is just a music appreciator, but he really can. He can really play a folk tune. So I was raised on folk music. I play the fiddle because I saw someone playing the fiddle at Tome County Festival in London when I was, I don't know, year and a half old. But
I kind of have this impression you were given a fiddle when you were probably barely walking. Here,
yeah,
play the fiddle.
I wanted to play the fiddle. I demanded in a stroller that I wanted violin lessons. And I think like my parents had no idea that this is something I would still do and be doing to this extent. But I don't really know what else I'd do, so there you go.
Okay, Dana, why don't you tell us a little bit about the band from your perspective? I'm always curious, does this band have a leader, or is it sort of like this three-headed
It's really a three-headed monster, yeah. I think. I think we all have our certain things we care about, so I think we all accommodate each other's needs in that way. We also really work together. We're self-managed and managed really well. I'm really proud of us. I guess the band, from my perspective, just feels like my destiny in a way. And I know that's really kind of heavy and maybe a little bit cheesy, but as I look back at my career, of course I babysat Laura, but I also gave Laura her first paying gig. I hired her as a violin player to play on a series of shows that I was running in Stratford. I think the first time I heard you was, I must have been 15. I had your demo tape. Yeah. And we played so many shows together. So many promoters billed us together. Also looking back, 2006, I had a record come out called Folkio. The only two kind of women that played on it were you two. And like it was very random. Like you didn't know each other. And I just feel like songwriting wise, it was the direction I was going in. Same with M. Like it feels like destiny, and it's so much fun. Like if we're not having fun, we need to have a little moment and figure out how to have fun again. And it's the highlight of my life. I love it. It's really fun.
So let's talk about the music of the band. I'm curious because, yeah, we have three obviously very talented individuals that have come together to make music. But you also have created this style around the music of the band and also the shows, which are based around that Canadiana type feel. The songs we started off with, Blue Nose on a Dime, from the Trent Seven album. We're going to play some other tracks from it during this interview. Was it a deliberate intent from the beginning to try and say, we're Trent Seven, we're Canadian, we sing songs about Canada, and we're bringing it to you? Is that, I mean, that was my read on this. Is that your intent with what you're doing here?
Yeah, we had a manifesto that we started off with, which included, I think being solo singers, songwriters, there's a bit of a working out some self problems or a bit of selfishness to it, maybe not in a bad way, but we really wanted this to be the people's band and sing songs that they related to, stories that they're familiar with, roads that they've driven on. You know, we really wanted this to paint pictures in people's head. And part of our manifesto is that we're going to write songs about our communities and about our legends and carry on a classy Canadiana tradition that was started by so many people, Stan Rogers, Anne Murray, so many greats that we could name it. We want to carry on that tradition. Another part of the manifesto is that you're not going to hear anything on our record that we can't play live on stage. We want an audience to come have an experience and leave with it. Family comes first, that if anyone has those kind of needs, that we're backing that before anything else. I think have fun, drink beer at the end of the day. Yeah.
This sounds like some sort of egalitarian society you've created. But you talk about the experience, and that's one of the things I immediately noticed when you go to a show. It's an experience. And that's personally what I love as someone that comes to a show. I want to have an experience. I'm very big on beginnings, middles, and ends with the encore. And, that, you know, I want to be lifted up. I want to have some, you know, perhaps some emotional parts of the show, but just to leave, you know, feeling that, boy, that was really good. Hmm. And that's how you strive for every show that you put together?
Absolutely. I mean, I should let you guys kind of expand on it, but we go see a lot of shows and take what our own emotions and try to put them into our own shows, you know? I don't know how to... Do you want to expand? I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because you'll see, and it's been a topic of conversation among us, like the idea of banter, and you see certain people do it very staged to an extent, and that works really well. Certain people have the right personality to improvise it on the fly really well. We started out with nothing, but it's super fun right now because we've fallen into habits of telling the stories, but often we don't know which one of us will start the story or how it's going to flow. So it keeps it exciting and fresh for us and very amusing because you never know exactly what's going to come out, but you do know, you sort of have the safety net of knowing where it's going, if that makes sense. But that the idea of a show being really important, that... I don't know. We're presenting our own little world. We're painting a portrait. We're presenting. I guess it's a musical. It's a musical package. So it has bookends. We like to march into a theme song. Right now, the current one is "Little Bones on the Stereo" by The Tragically Hip, and we actually reference that song in our song "Snowy Soul." So we've been marching into that, and then when we're done the show, we put on "Winter Games."
David Foster's
Winter Games. Da, 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 da. So that's sort of like, that makes you feel good when you're done a show and the audience thinks it's hilarious. And just like little things like that.
Well, it's funny you should say that because one of the big appeals is the fact that you have songs like Mulrooney, which we're going to play in a few seconds. I think that was, I asked you before we started the interview to pick the songs, and I think Dana suggested Blue Nose. Dana suggested Blue Nose on a Dime, and then Em suggested maybe Mulrooney. But one of the things that's really fun is that we get this sort of, you know, the stories about Canada being woven in. Was that part of the intent, or did that just sort of fall out of this?
Well, in the, I actually ran this idea by Dana over email, and I reread that email recently. And definitely the intent of the band was to focus on some Canadiana themes. But I think the addition of Dana really helped it come alive because, don't tell her this, but I think she's a bit of a, you know, a historian. And she pulls all these stories, like dark and wonderful, out of the fabric of Canada. And whereas my writing is a little bit like, a little bit more like about the rural things that are going on around me because I live in a small town. And then throw in Laura's, you know, knowledge of how the fiddle changes, like the fiddle style changes from west to east, which is something I had no idea about. And then you have something that is, I think, quite interesting. So I didn't know that Dana loved Canada to this extent. So it was actually, again, lucking out big time. And it grew as we grew as a band. And now we welcome stories that people have. We have a postcard in our album where people can suggest, you know, ideas for songs, things that inspire them about Canada. A lot of the feedback we've gotten has been, you know, about the geography of Canada, parts of Canada that they think, that the listeners think, you know, are beautiful or inspiring. So we welcome that. And I think as a solo act prior to all this, I wouldn't have been this open to feedback, you know, but because we thrive on it, you know, even at Summer Folk, I think someone came up and said, you know, you might want to like sing a little bit in a higher key because, you know, I'm a vocal teacher. I've been a vocal teacher for 20 years. I can't really understand what you're saying. And in the olden days, I would be like, well, I don't know who you are telling me how to sing. But now it's like, okay, there's a way we can make it better. That's why it's sort of a community band, you know.
Can I add to the other thing that's also happening that was really surprising to me was we're gathering stories. So when we sing Truscott, which is the story of Stephen Truscott, the you know, chip off the block there, but every show almost someone comes up and tells us how that affected them or the day they remember something happening in relation to, and it's thought crossed my mind to start gathering these stories that people tell us off the side of the stage. And that for me has been a real thrill to have that interaction with fans.
You know, I've got to say, as someone who didn't actually grow up here, who is an adopted Canadian, I actually find it kind of refreshing. And I do hope that your history is accurate because I completely could get confused if I suddenly start saying, well, actually, yeah. And they say, well, where did you get that information from? I think Dana Manning said it in a concert I was at. Let's play the song Mulrooney. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio. I'm Jan Hall with Trent Seven at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. And this is a song from the Trent Seven album entitled Mulrooney.
No one here is from around these parts. They're made of brand new stars. And armor pressed from steel and broken hearts for men of 28. You had it all.
That was Trent Seven from the album of the same name with the track Mulrooney. I got to ask, how do you write the songs for this album? You've got three, obviously, very strong individuals forming this wonderful band. How do you actually write? Is this something, is it a, do you get together with a few beers during a hockey game or something? How do you do that?
I wish that we got together with a few beers, but that's not the case as we live in different places. I'm in Toronto focusing on, I have a couple other projects, and I'm teaching violin, and Dana's all over the place with her work, and Em is based in St. Mary's. So we send a lot of emails, and I get some of the most exciting emails you'll ever get. Like the other day, I forget where I was. I was out and I was really busy, and I got an email from Em, who had just mocked up a recording of a tune that Dana and I did get together and work out. And then it was just like all day I was like, oh, I'm not gonna have like Wi-Fi on my phone where I am. I'm not gonna be home for like 7 hours. I just wanna get home and hear this tune. But it's a lot of like we write on our own and then bring in ideas and then tweak each other's work more so than sitting down together. And I think like, so there's songs that especially comes across in the show, like there's songs that are very clearly Dana's and very clearly Em's. And I'm working on, they'd written a lot of the record before I joined the band. So now I'm working on my own contributions, and some instrumental pieces within the concert are very clearly mine. And I think that that's important that that comes across in that way. But it's good because it's like you have your own editors within your...
Yeah, it really makes the songs better. And also, we wouldn't get the same diversity or results if one of us was writing. I think especially you and like Em and I during that first record, our songwriting complements each other so much. And it was very reactive for me. What you were writing changed what I was going to write and needed it to have a full picture and a balance to it. So I think when something lively and super fun like Muskoka comes, I want to write Truscott. And when I send Freedom or something, you want to write Snowy Soul. And the other part for me is that I think it is very clear to us who wrote what, but I've had a lot of people come up to me and think that I wrote Snowy Soul, right? And I think a lot of people thought you wrote Freedom, or, you know, like we are all over each other. Like we've contributed so much to each other's writing that it does mask it. But it's so enjoyable. I mean, the most recent song that kind of we worked on came from having some beers on a patio in Grand Bend to you and I writing, like...
Can I tell them the rhyme?
Oh, no, don't do it yet. Save it. But, you know, then Laura worked on a verse. I worked on a verse. There was no music. M sees it all and goes, okay, guys, I got this. And we get, you know, the best part of the day is, you know, at 11 a.m. when this demo shows up and I'm working, like I'm doing my normal job, but I'm listening to this song 100 times in my headphones. It's just so fun.
You know, when you talk like this, I think there should be some sort of, I don't know, we need to have access to your Twitter feed, you know, 24/7 and perhaps emails on the website as well, because... From people who follow the band, it would be wonderful to hear about all of these things that go on before a song's put together.
That's a great idea. In fact, the initial email of starting the band maybe should go up on the website, you know, because that's, you know, we love to let people in. And even Dana was talking about, you know, we've been around a while, so we don't want to waste our creative time finding a label or a manager or just kind of chasing success in other parts of the world that don't, you know, maybe resonate with us right now. So one thing that we did maybe want to do is, you know, open up how we operate to other people, you know, because I found it inspiring when I was younger to know that you could do it by yourself or with a little bit of, you know, like we divide up the jobs and we get quite a bit done.
Well, you're a great live show. I mean, you really are. And I think, I have to be honest, because when I saw you at Kingsville, I thought, wow, what a great show. I wish I could take it to the States as well, because we need to educate those people as well. And, you know, I'm thinking that maybe there could be a Sufjan Stevens thing here, that maybe that, you know, we're first album's about Canada, the next one maybe, you know, we'll step out a little bit and be about Bulgaria and then maybe Greece and, you know, create this whole series of interesting records.
That's a great idea. I saw Tamara Williamson last night do I think about four songs off of her new record. It's called Mother, Daughter, Sister, Wife. And each song is about a woman's life, and each song is their name. That blew me away, that concept. And it really got my seeds going for our band. Like, maybe we could do towns, or maybe we could do something along those lines. And I just love songwriting that has a big picture to it and a story to it. And that's what the level we wanted to go to with this band, and want to stay there. We can.
What's very apparent mm-hmm. from this interview is, particularly when Laura was, I think, talking about the show and the experience, is, you know, the scope for doing more. I suddenly had this, oh my God, maybe there'll be a Disney next, but part of the Canada exhibit at Epcot. But no, seriously, the scope for doing a lot more here is huge. Mm-hmm. I love the playfulness that you bring to the project, but also the fact that you have this wonderful manifesto. You know, you all have personal lives, you all have other careers, you all have family, and you're not going to sacrifice those things for this. But at the same time, you want to allow this to breathe and grow, which is fabulous. Now, tell me a little bit about the album you're working on just now.
I don't know. We don't have a name for it. I don't want to say too much about it other than at this point, it is a little Ontario-centric, and I don't know if that is going to come across as that theme.
No, we got some prairies and some BC in there.
Okay, yeah,
Not to offend people in the prairies in BC.
Yeah. No, we're kind of covered. We're in the process of figuring out exactly how we want to record it.
One thing that really changed for me with the writing and tripped me up a little bit was that I didn't know what our live show would be. We made that whole record without a live show. And it's so different than as I imagined it. So now when we're writing the songs, the first thing I picture is performing them and how we will performing them, we'll be performing them, and the energy and the story. And that is feels like more pressure to me. That for anyway, yeah.
But I think that's part of the reason it makes it, sorry, Em was going to jump in, but I think that's part of the reason that, from my point of view, that makes it so interesting. Because the live show did actually develop out the music. Now you're going to bring it back. But it has a wonderful feel to it. And there is a tremendous feel-good aspect to this band.
I was just going to add that we did a cover of Love and Maple Syrup by Gordon Lightfoot. And, you know, doing little projects like that between records, it kind of, you know, I see what people kind of enjoy about that performance. You know, there's a part where we sing in unison, and I can tell everyone looks up at that part, and I kind of wanted to incorporate that into one of our songs. So we're definitely like taking highlights, I think, from our show and being inspired by, you know, what kind of moves people. Hopefully, you know, we'll see. Maybe, I don't know if everyone will love it, but we'll see.
You know, I gotta say, if I'm going to leave any message with the listeners of this show, it's that you are a great live band who have produced already one great album. I can't wait to hear what the next one sounds like.
Thank you. That really means a lot. Thank you so much.
No, it. I really mean it, because I want to be blown away when I go to a show. And you go to a Trent Seven show, you're going to be blown away. And that's really what should happen.
It's the highest compliment. Really.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, Dana Manning, Laura C. Bates, M. Grine, it's been a great pleasure having you join us today. But we have one more song to pick. And I think, Laura, you're going to get to tell us the third song that we're going to play from the album today.
I picked this one as a conclusion. It's called Road Less Traveled. Dana wrote this song. And this was the last one to come into my inbox when we were working on the last record. And I think you just recorded on your iPhone at work or something like that. I remember getting this and being like...
Definitely not at work, though.
Oh, not at work. Sorry. She recorded
it
somewhere.
I'm not editing that for that.
But I was just really taken with the song. Really simple, moving imagery of Canada. Do you want to say something?
An amazing violin. Yeah.
That's good. It's been a great pleasure having you join us today. This is Trent Seven from the wonderful Trent Seven album. Again, you need to check this band out if you've not seen them. Trent Seven and The Road Less Traveled. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Oh, I've almost hit enough. Far.